started this series, this Am I Free series, and it's a question. Because one of the things of bondage, of spiritual bondage, is a lot of times we don't even know we are in bondage. The funny thing is, most of you who've been here a while know that for about a period of about 7 years in a row, I used to go every Memorial Day weekend to Texas to do a youth conference, to lead in worship and in the message. And then the last couple of years was after Tiffany and I were married. And the very first year, the kids said, you know, Mike was always happy, but now he's smiling more. He's happier. He's not as serious. He's more loose. And what that was a revelation that people noticed was that I was in a bondage where I was sort of depressed, even though I didn't realize how low or depressed I was. So sometimes, and I share this with you, is to share with you that bondage sneaks up on us without us knowing it. And we talked about the bondage of generational curses in week one. Today we're going to talk about bondage in the mind. Being free in our mind. And do we have the mind of Christ? Well, as we know in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Spirit, Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Therefore, if the Spirit of God is alive in us, and if His Spirit is present, there is freedom. See, some people needed to shout today. Some people just needed to clap. Some people needed to actually sing when they've never sung before, because that's how you break the bondage. It's a physical act of something, that we do something to break that bondage that we're in. If I am chained up in shackles, that bondage is not going to break unless I do this in the power of God. I've got to do something. I've got to break it. I got to want to break it. And we're going to get into that a little bit. The mind, that's the most powerful weapon we have. Everything we are begins with a thought. I think something, I feel something, I act on that feeling. Your thoughts affect everything. Everything begins with a thought. If I wake up today and my first thought is, I gotta get up again, that's gonna affect my next step. It's going to affect my attitude in that next step. It's going to affect everything that I am. A couple of weeks ago, I had hurt my back on a Saturday afternoon doing some yard work. And one of the questions that my wife asked me was, Sunday morning, did you wake up thinking you got a hurt back and how you're going to compensate for that? That's a great question, because there's a bondage there. If I were to wake up and that was my attitude, that means I am compromising already in my thought process. I'm setting myself up to be less than the fullness of who I am. And I was grateful that in the power of God, I was honestly able to answer her no, because I expected to wake up Sunday morning fully healed, fully functioning, without any hindrances, and I'm going to press into the things of God. And the Lord was there to see me through that, and it was awesome. But those are the kind of thoughts that can creep into our minds that affect how we present ourselves before the Lord and the things that we do to accomplish in the freedom God has given us in Jesus Christ, who the Son sets free is free indeed. He has given it to us that we're supposed to go into. So what starts here affects everything. My first thought about a person when they walk in the room is going to affect how I look at them, what I say to them, my attitude towards them, how I feel about them. When I let my mind wander about something going on, it's going to affect the present, what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, and how I represent God in it. It's going to affect these things. I remember when I first began to be around people who were experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit. The story I tell is the very first time at an Assemblies of God Pentecost rally. I had just finished leading worship on my base. I sat down in one of the front rows next to a Hispanic pastor of a Hispanic church. And all of a sudden, he's like this, shaking, and the power of God was all over him. My mind said, ooh, you got to get away from them. This is too weird. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't know what this is. I'm scared. My mind went in that wrong direction. Now I welcome that because my mind has been renewed by the Word of God, because that means if the power of God is moving, it's touching someone, I want that person to touch me. I want that. I want what they want. I want the joyful person. I want their joy on me. I want them to impart that joy because it's the joy of the Lord. So I want those things. This week, song I heard 1,000 times, but a line finally hit me. In the Casting Crowns song, Courageous, one of the most powerful line in that song is, in the war of the mind, I will make my stand. That's the line that jumped out at me this week. In the war of the mind, I will make my stand. Because it all starts up here. The battle starts up here before we do anything in life. Psalms 107, 10, verse 12 says this. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Talking about a stronghold here of the mind. They were bound in affliction. So everything begins with a thought. So the question as I read this passage I have is, why are they sitting in darkness? Why are they sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death? Why are they bound in afflictions and iron? Why are they stuck where they are, suffering? How did they despise the counsel of God? And why? And why was there no one who could help? Why were they in position? Well, the answer comes in the one word. They rebelled against the counsel of God. I want to share with you some basic definitions for the word rebel. In the dictionary, rebel means refuse allegiance to. It means to resist, to be defiant towards, or to even, and this is a verb, an aggressive way, to rise against. To rise against something. So they refused allegiance to the words of God and the counsel of the Most High. They resisted the words of God. They were defiant to the words of God. They rejected the words of God. They rose against the words of God that was being spoken to them, that was being revealed to them. But here's another interesting thing. The origin, one of the origins of the word rebel, literally means to re-war, renewing a war. Re-war, renewing a war. How does that imply? Well, guess what? Jesus won the battle. Jesus did everything He needed to do to win the war for us and is winning the war. He's actually given us every tool we need in His Word, through His counsel, to live victoriously now. Live victoriously today, right here. So when we allow our minds to go to that place where we are refusing, despising, resisting, being defiant to the things of God, what God has to say, we're opening up a battle, a war that's already been won. It's already been won. You know, my wife and I enjoy the show Shark Tank. And we were watching an episode the other day, and one of the, you know, the object of the show is to get a billionaire to invest in what your product or what you are doing. And one of the guys already got several of them to say, yes, we'll invest, we'll do it, we'll give you what you want. But he wanted to keep talking. And the guy said, stop, stop, you might stick your foot in your mouth. Don't ruin it. Why are you continuing a fight, renewing something, or keeping going with something where you've already won? You've been given the tools to victory. Jesus already did it. So why am I re-warring against the Word of God that's been proven to be tried and true? See, in Ephesians 6, the armor of God, there's that helmet of salvation that we put on that protects up here. It protects. See, we put that on and we're covered. We put that on because when we are saved, we are a new creation. We don't have to battle the things of old anymore because we've overcome the things of old in Jesus' name. You're not who you used to be. Yes, there are things we need to work on as we move from glory to glory according to God's word to perfect things in our lives through the Holy Spirit, because, you know, he's the one that does the changing. He's the one that brings the convicting. He's the one who does these things. But I am not who I used to be. So put on that helmet of salvation so I don't think, act, or try to be and go back to where I was, because I'm covered by the saving grace of Jesus Christ, who also imparted his spirit upon me to live a victorious life. I'm not stuck at the cross. I'm not stuck in the empty tomb. I'm sitting having fish and chips with Jesus on a beach shore when he says, I'm giving you my spirit. I'm waiting in the upper room and I'm receiving that spirit, and there's a tongue of fire over my head. And my attitude and my mind is being renewed in those things. This is a battle of the fleshly mind versus the mind of Christ. And those described here, sat in darkness, the problem is they couldn't fully secure the helmet of salvation on. They're still wishy-washy. If we're stuck in darkness in our minds here, as we rebel against, we have to ask ourselves, why? What is it we're still stuck on? What is it that we have yet to submit to God? What is it that we have not let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God change and renew and reform? What is it that's going on that's got to affect us in a good way, affect us in a great way, and impact my mind? Because what starts up here affects everything. Everything. I can either walk in a room and change the atmosphere for the glory of God, or pull down everything good that was going on by my thoughts and my attitudes. You know, one of the things that I encourage our worship team or anyone else involved in ministry, get here early. Get here to church early. Why? Because more often than not, whether it's church or service or more than that, if you're on time or late, that means your mind wasn't focused on what God was doing, barring an emergency of some kind. But generally, that's the case. But when you get here early, you have time to just settle, to get refocused. Because a lot of times it's hard to emotionally, spiritually, and mentally prepare somewhere else. But you get here and you focus so that our mind is where it needs to be to receive and to think and to take in and absorb the things of God. If I am rushing to get somewhere, if I'm rushing to do something, I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit, clearly. I'm not. I'm focused on, I'm late, I've got to do this, I got to do that. I need to stop. And there are those times, my wife, when she sees me like getting into something, getting into frustrated, she'll say, stop, pray about it, or take a break and pray, and let the Holy Spirit work on you a little bit. The battle of the mind is the most important thing, and the biggest dilemma comes when we don't allow the Word of God or His counsel to impact me. Instead, I'm running with it. Many years ago, one of the things that I really, really, even now, think about that happened on a softball field with our softball team that I was embarrassed about at that time, and I had to repent heavily, is we had a gentleman on our team. And for those that don't know, the purpose of this team for us has always been as not just a fun activity, but a ministry activity. We're there to minister to one another and impact the other churches, because some are not going to be as, the people on those teams aren't going to be as committed to a relationship with Christ as many of us, as well as the umpires themselves, who most are not Christians, to be an example, to reflect the image of God. And I remember wanting to force my will onto this player over a situation that took place, to the point where I let my thoughts of my will has to crush what he wants to do, that I actually began arguing and fighting with him on the field, not physically fighting, but arguing with him. And when we came back in, the other teammates had to physically separate us, because I just wanted to just keep yelling at him and pushing my authority kind of thing. And you know what? Satan won at that moment till we repented and the Lord renewed and restored. But it started up here. It was about me. I had to do this instead of, Lord, what is it you want? I'm uncomfortable with this, instead of, Lord, what is it you want? What is it you are doing? What type of things do you want to work in right now? The war of the mind is where it begins. It has to start there. And that we need to let the Holy Spirit take over. Step back. Step back. Bible says, be still and know that He is God. Step back. Be still. Are you feeling anxious about something? Are you worried? Where is that worry coming from? It has a root in fear. Why are we afraid when the Word of God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind? The love of God, the power of God, and the mind of Christ. Why are you afraid? And if I have the authority and power of God, I've got the love of God, and I have the mind of Christ, why should I be afraid? Whom shall I fear, the Word of God says. Whom shall I fear? Why am I worried? If I'm angry, why am I angry? Is it a righteous anger? Or are my thoughts going in a direction they shouldn't be? And it's about me covering my pride, my insecurities, my will, versus, Lord, how do I glorify you right now? How do I give you the glory and reveal you to those around me? What is it within me? And it begins with our thoughts. Are my thoughts, do I wake up in the morning with thoughts on Christ? David, how many of his Psalms talk about waking up with his thoughts fixed on the things of God? And I know for me personally, the mornings that I rise in Him, that I get up with joy, I get up. And actually, it begins before getting up. They talk about how when you go, how you go into anesthesia when you're having surgery is the way you'll come out of it. How you go to bed at night is the way you'll wake up in the morning. If I go to bed at night already negatively thinking about having to get up and do this, this, and that in the morning, I'm going to wake up that way in the morning. Not to mention, I'm not going to be open to the dreams that the Holy Spirit would give me, the peace that would flow within me. But if I go to bed excited about what God's going to do the next day with those thoughts, I'm going to be able to get up that way, that much easier, and then spend that morning with Him, fixing my thoughts on the Word of God. It changes everything. I was sharing with my wife this morning. For the last 2 weeks, I've been struggling with the Word of God in my own personal time. For whatever reason, all of a sudden, there was a block. Because most of the time, I open up the Word, it's as I'm studying, the Word of God is jumping at me. Jumping at me. His words are leaping off the page, and my mind is spinning, and I'm getting so much revelation. But for the last couple of weeks, I would read and read, and I would just really struggle to receive. And eventually I would, but it wasn't that they were jumping. And I know a few people prayed specifically, felt led by the Holy Spirit yesterday, to pray against blocking or blockage of our minds, spiritual blocking. And let me tell you, it was so good today to have that release again. And the words began jumping out. And it does affect. When His Word is making sense to me, when the things of God are making sense and I am embracing them and making them a part of who I am, everything changes. Everything changes. Do I go somewhere grudgingly? Or do I go somewhere with the joy of the Lord and looking to impact things for the kingdom of God? Why do I do what I do? Is it to do it? Or is it the thought is, Lord, how can I bring glory to Your kingdom? How do I look at people? How do I judge people? How do I judge those who pour out things of God? There was a point here where many who sat in this room rejected anyone who did not, who flowed in the presence of God. Holy Spirit, were baptized. There'd be a lot of gossiping. And thank God that's been cast away. A lot of negative things, which affected a relationship. We are called a body. And if you read in Romans and Corinthians, the body's supposed to be working as one. But if you have the arm judging and being critical of the leg and vice versa, how can we be unified? How can we be one? All begins up here. How do we look at somebody who's downcast? Oh, they need the love of God. We need to reach them and speak to them words of life. Or, I don't want to go near them. They're going to take up too much of my time. There's a mental block that a lot of people in this room and beyond this room would say, I can't study my Bible. I don't know how to read my Bible. It doesn't make sense to me. Well, you know what? It won't make sense to you if you keep following through with those mental thoughts. And it's not going to happen overnight. But you press into it to renew your mind going into it. I'm going to learn my Bible. I'm going to learn how to study my Bible. I don't need to know everything. Lord, help me to get one thing out of this today. Show me one thing. When you open up your Word at home, pray, Lord, renew my mind so that today I see one thing new that You want to show me that I can embrace and apply to my life. One of my biggest scripture struggles is memorization of Scripture, to be honest with you. And you know how I fed into the lie of the mind? Because I had a hard time memorizing the Word of God and looking at other pastors who can just say, oh, Romans 3:15 says this, and they'll just rattle things off left and right, and I couldn't do that. And I'd be like, oh, I kind of paraphrase some things. When you accept the lie, you empower the liar. I accepted that lie that I can't memorize Scripture, and I'll just be satisfied with the way I am. So what's happened? For 20 years, I've had that stronghold on my mind. I mean, there are certain key scriptures that I have been able to memorize, but for the most part, I quit trying. I accepted that stronghold. And it's only been the last 6 months to a year where we've been actively praying for breaking that stronghold and actively learning how to memorize, to retraining my mind and going into with that attitude of, yeah, I can memorize Scripture. That's not going to stop me. That stronghold's got to be broken. These things all begin up here. Renew your mind. Think about what words you said and used like, I will never, I could never, that's just not me, I'm uncomfortable with this, I could never do that, you know, I would never be like that, or whatever adjective you want to use. Ask yourself about those things. Bring those to memory. Let the Holy Spirit bring them to you. And check yourself. Because those are the kind of lies that turn into strongholds of the mind. Whenever I say, I could never do this, now I've opened the door for that spirit to come in and cause a stronghold. I used to say I could never dance. Now I can't wait to dance with my wife. Take every opportunity I can. You know, there was a time when I was first learning to play the guitar. We'd sit in the singles group, and I'd be the one in the corner that would never even open my mouth. And I said, I don't like the way I sound. I could never sing. So I wouldn't even sing when we were singing in the hymnal in church. That had to be broken. And I thank God for that. Strongholds of the mind can only be broken by the power of Christ and His Spirit living in us. But we have to want them to be broken. We have to choose to say, I am tired of this. And the first step to it is doing what I said or thought or felt I could never do, say, be, whatever the case may be, to one degree or another. First step is maybe I just need to just do it in faith. That's why I challenged some of you earlier. Raise your hands and do it to receive. Some have never received from the Holy Spirit. They've seen others, but they've sat down. Well, it has to start somewhere. If you want the glory of God in you, and He wants to give it to you, I have to up here say, you know what? I want it, and I'm willing to feel uncomfortable and feel awkward even to receive it. And just do it. It's not comfortable at first. But you know what they say? For something to become a habit, you do it 30 times. Consistently. So you do it a few more times, guess what? It becomes a part of who you are, not what you do. I don't have to think twice about certain things anymore because my mind has been renewed because of the faith that I poured into it and did it. There are still other things I'm struggling with that I'm still working on. But press into the mind of Christ. Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to set our minds free. And today, He wants to set our minds free. To think on the things. Bible says whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is righteous, whatever are the things of God, put your mind on those things. When you've got a heavy decision to make, decision is, yes, these are the physical worries, but they need to take second place to, Lord, is this what you want? Is this your will? Is this your purpose? Because my mind needs to be fixed on you, not on what it looks like or feels like. Show me. Show me what you want that I can act. And these things will work themselves out when you do that. So show us, Holy Spirit. Show us. Show us. We're going to continue this the next time. But I wanted to share these testimonies with you today because it's a struggle we all deal with. And what we think does really affect relationships, most of all our relationship with Christ. Because how we think either limits or opens the door to the Holy Spirit flowing in us. How we think. That's our mind. Our brain is the organ. Our mind is how we think. Affects our relationships, especially with Jesus. I want you to just stand up right now and just bow your heads. Second, we're going to just take a few minutes or seconds and just ask in the Holy Spirit what he wants us to do right now. So Holy Spirit, come. We invite you, Holy Spirit, right now to come and just bring a revelation. Right now, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come. I'm hearing the word submit. So we might need to submit today specific thoughts, specific statements we've made about others and ourselves, and simply repent, which says, Lord, I changed my mind about this, these thoughts, these statements. Yeah, Holy Spirit, show us. Amen.
And then finally the victory, then he will flee from you.
Yes, Lord.
So some of you, some of us rather, we need to take that first
step
of submitting and saying, God, you don't want this in my life anymore. Mm. I'm going to submit it to you. This thing, I'm going to submit it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And next I'm going to resist the enemy who's been wanting me to give in.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And you will get the victory mm-hmm. today. Mm. If you take those steps of faith, you will get the victory.
Yeah.
I also have had in my mind the enemy has put the lie that you can't do something. And the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if it's a habit, if it's something.
Yes, Lord. Addictions, yeah.
The Lord says you can, because you can do it through him.
Mm-hmm.
You can do all things through him. He will give you strength to do it. You won't be able to do it on your own strength, but he will give you strength.
Yeah. First step is just simply repenting for allowing that lie, those things to take root. So Lord, we just simply, together as one body, as a church, we repent, Lord, for the things that we've allowed enter our thoughts, enter our mind, that have gone against your word, that rebelled against your words and your counsel, the counsel of the Most High. So we repent of them, Lord, right now. We change our mind of those things. Yes, Lord. Yes, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit's stirring something right now. I'm just trying to be sensitive to what he's doing at this moment. Goes back to salvation. Helmet of salvation. Some of us need to cinch it up a little tighter. Know whose you are. Know whose you are. You are saved. Stop being wishy-washy about it. And be the one that is covered by the blood of the Lamb. Be the one who has been cloaked with the robe of righteousness and the robe of salvation. Be the one who's wearing the priestly garment that God has given you, that he's put on you. be the one who is co-heir in Christ, with Christ, to the kingdom of heaven. Cinch up that helmet of salvation. You are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And you can conquer those thoughts. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Right. I'm going to ask if Mike and Diana and Maureen and Tiffany, if you would come on up. And what we want to do, it's the image of Christ, that blueprint of who we are, as once saved by the grace and the love of Christ, who has changed us, renewed us. And ask if the guys can play something soft. We're going to be up here and we're going to be laying hands and praying over you for those specific things. We can pray afterwards, after everyone else is done, for other personal